people that study your word and be faithful to it and just seek to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, remember this is generally considered a model church, so it deals with the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And the fundamentals of anything, a sport or whatnot, that's what a person generally follows. Okay, but there are times you need to step outside of the fundamentals. Okay, so as I mentioned this morning, there are strange doctrines in the Bible, but the majority of the time we're studying, the general principles of the Bible or the fundamentals, and then trying to help us all to grow in grace. Okay, but yet, some people have not been fortunate. I say as fortunate as you and I have, and have had tragic things happen to their lives. Tragic things beyond human comprehension. And so those people are seeking to recover. Some of them got born again and are able to recover. Okay, and we know in the military, what do they call it? PTSD? Post-traumatic syndrome? PTSD? Okay. That is also true in the world of some people's lives when they are raised in a satanic environment. And I'm so thankful for my sheltered upbringing. So grateful to the Lord. But the Lord has allowed people come into my severe of my life that has had tragic things happen to them. And so we do what we can to help folks. So I didn't mention it this morning, but there's a fellow at Rensselaer years ago that said, I want to tell you something. I said, okay, you're going to think I'm crazy. You're going to think I'm nuts. I said, already know that. He said that six of these truck drivers, he was one of them, parked outside an electric substation, near an electric substation, and they watched a UFO suck juice from the substation. I said, I believe you. Really? And I said, what'd you do? He said, we got out of there. I said, smart man. Joe, do you know who told me that? George Frater's. Yeah, he told me that. He didn't want to tell anybody because he thinks you're so crazy. Yeah. Yeah. But that was years ago. So, okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, so adding to what we read in the previous chapter, especially at verse 13. Furthermore, so what's the best thing we can do in preparation of verse 13 of chapter 3? The preparation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the best thing we can do? Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, we beg you, we plead with you, please do this. We exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. So what's the best thing we can do until we see the Lord face to face? Walk to try to please God. It's the best thing we can do. Walk how to please God. And so down to verse 8, that is a very short, fundamental or basic way to have this process of pleasing God. So how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Abound, obviously, spiritually, because the financial abounding is an Old Testament promise. It's not a New Testament promise. So we walk how to please God. And if we please God, according to Revelation 4, verse 11, that's why he's created everything. That's why he's given you life, me life, you life, eternal life, me eternal life. And so he's created all things for his pleasure. So if we fulfill what we've been created for, then we get fulfillment because we've done what God's created us for. So walk how to please God. And then without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he's going to give us faith in the words. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the words of God. So one way we please God is time in this book. Believe this book. So that's the idea there. And then a soldier's been called, 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. A soldier is called, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So that's the born again. We need to try to please our Lord God in our walk and in our work. Colossians 2, verse 6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Okay, now that verse is pretty clear. Okay, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Okay, how does a person receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By grace through faith, right? How do we walk in him? By grace through faith. Okay, the water dog. Let's go to the water dog's church to splash around for a while. Okay, he says you got to repent, have faith, confess, and get baptized. So as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, getting baptized, you don't walk in him, you swim in him. So it's all by grace through faith. Justification is by grace through faith. Sanctification is by grace through faith. So it's the same process coming through there. Then verse 2, he says, for ye know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, we, Paul, what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, one commandment he said, be followers of me as I am Christ. So we recognize that Jesus had a ministry to the circumcision, to Israel, and then on occasion he would deal with the Gentile, on occasion, or Samaritan. Okay, but Paul's ministry, his call is to the Gentile and then on occasion to the Jew. So he does a switcheroosie there on that. And basically he said in Acts 21, the basic requirements for the Gentiles after salvation in Acts 21, he lays it out in verse 25, Acts 21, 25. Now this is a very, very brief summary. Acts 21, 25. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. The previous verses, that's a Jewish vow. Save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, so idolatry, no go. From blood, no drinking blood. Okay, no drinking blood. You would think that that would be an easy command to obey, right? But when people get into satanic fits, Bill Sneblin says that blood is more addicting than cocaine. Now, I don't get that myself. But if you really want to get into this strange idea, then you study adrenochrome. And that really gets into the dark things. And that is what the deep state that Trump's going after for. That was one of the things. So, from blood. Okay, on that one right there, let's say the Catholics are right, that transubstantiation is true, that the fermented wine turns into blood, and then they drink it, that would violate the Bible. Leviticus 17 says no on the drinking of blood. Acts 15 says no on the drinking of blood. Okay, and then before the law in Genesis 9 with Noah, he said in verse 4, the no of the drinking of the blood. That's forbidden. So in Acts 21 verse 25, so you have no idols, blood, strangled, I don't know what's going on there, and from fornication. That's one unique sin that is a sin against the body, because that is almost a spiritual marriage where it allows spirits to go back and forth. And that's it. Well, notice he doesn't say anything about the Sabbath. Nothing about the Sabbath. Okay, so in 1 Thessalonians, he's going to come back to that idea. Verse 3, for this is the will of God. Okay, the will of God. Often in Christian colleges, the young people always talk about the will of God. What is the will of God for me? It's not mystical. If God wants you and I to do something, why would he hide it from us? Why would he make it difficult? Okay, Jan and I seriously was considering going to D.C. last week. We really wanted to. A part of us really wanted to. And on Monday, I was looking for hotels, and I'm praying, Lord, should we go? Should we go? We kind of want to go. Should we go? Lord, you got to give me direction. And I didn't get a phone call. Peter did not write a gold ink airmail letter like a pope received a few years back. Did you know that? The pope got a real letter from the Apostle Peter. It's written and signed in gold ink and all that stuff. Came airmail. I didn't get that. I didn't get anything. I got no direction. I'm saying, Lord, if you don't give me a go-ahead, we're not going. And he didn't give me a go-ahead. You know, it was not mystical. I'm thinking, after all the excitement, we still kind of wanted to go. Part of us kind of wanted to go. Part of us didn't. I didn't want to deal the driving. But the Lord, the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, sometimes we don't know how he's directing them. And so we didn't go. We didn't get clear direction. We didn't get a clear yes. So we didn't go. And if God wants you and I to do something according to his will, he's going to tell you. Now, the directive will of God is right here in verse 3. It's as plain as day. This is a directive will of God. Okay, now the Lord may direct where you live or where you fulfill this will of God. But if he doesn't tell you where, then this is what we're supposed to do here. Right here. Okay, and a lot of times people think the will of God is where. When if we don't do what we're supposed to do here, we're not going to do what he wants us to do there. And so the thing is just put your roots in wherever the here is. Am I here? Am I there? I can prove that I'm not here. Well, if I'm not here, if I'm not over there, then I'm someplace else. If I'm someplace else, then I'm not here. What is the will of God? Okay, verse 3. The will of God, even your, number one, sanctification. Why? Because justification has already taken place. So the next thing is sanctification. And so then Paul says in Acts 26:18, sanctification is by faith. Now we, especially Baptists, you know, and I was in that group where you got all these lists, and that is trying to do something by works, not against the list. The list may be good, may be bad, or may not be necessary. But still the idea is the sanctification where something is set apart, totally separate. Okay, and so on that idea, that's our first thing. Okay, let's try 2 Timothy. I washed my brain this afternoon. I can't do a thing with it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. I'm sure you remember it. I think this was the third message I've ever preached in this church many years ago. yes, that would have been in 1987, 86, 96. Okay, so it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. So in all of our houses, you have some vessels to honor, where people will come in and say, wow, that's nice, that's pretty. That's amazing. It might be a painting, it might be a furniture. And then there are some vessels of dishonor. And that would be probably the most likely candidate is the toilet. I don't think anybody walks in your house and says, now that's a unique toilet. Now my parents have a unique toilet because it goes in a corner of a room and it's like a triangle, the tank part, and you can't find a replacement for that. So that one is unique. They got that back in 1969. Okay, so if you go to their house, go to the first bathroom, and then you can look at that amazing toilet that you won't find anywhere else. Okay, but that is a vessel of dishonor. Now, I hope you do have a toilet in your house. If not an outhouse, I'll back. Okay, and so that's an honor, dishonor. And then he says, if any man therefore purge himself from these, what? Verse 19, the iniquity, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There's four things there. Okay, now, maybe you got something in your house that's a vessel of honor. That's usually a painting, a family picture. You get, man, you bring people, look at this. But what does it do? Collects dust and cause you to have to clean it. It gives you good memories. It gives you some dopamine to produce joy. Okay, but you could have it without something on the wall. Okay, maybe you got something in your house, like in my our house, I think our kitchen table is a piece of furniture that is a vessel unto honor. Plus, it's useful because it's a great place to eat, a great place to play Rummy Cube, even though my wife's been on a hot streak lately beating me. And we do that about every day. We sit across the table, we play. She's been really taking care of me lately. Okay. So it's sanctified, it's set apart. So that's quite a piece of furniture. Okay, so if we want to be a vessel unto honor to please God, then, okay, sanctify ourselves, he says, honorable, meet for the master's use, be useful, and be prepared. How do we get prepared? We get prepared by studying. Okay, now, somebody that got saved and that's it in heaven, maybe in God's house, maybe they'll be representative of a toilet. Okay, hey, that beats the alternative. I'm not saying yay or nay, okay, but still the idea is that, praise the Lord, they got saved. But as an individual, shouldn't we want to do something for the Lord? To be a good investment of his. And so in verse 21, that is up to you and I purging ourselves. How do we do that? By yielding to the Spirit and let the Spirit actually do it for us. But we do have to hit the light switch to allow him to do it. And then when you get all those other things that flee youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, all those things, that's part of the sanctified. This is what will please the Lord. For this is the will of God, back in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Okay, porn, rhymes with that. It is similar. Okay, the thing about fornication is a very unique sin. Paul talks about it, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And when that takes place, that opens the door of the two parties. If one party has five unclean spirits and the other party does not, The five unclean spirits have an open channel back and over. Okay, and that can be broken, thank God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, because where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So you can offer hope to somebody who has had bad experiences in the past. Thoughts keep coming to mind. Why? Because spirits are giving those thoughts to cause confusion. Okay, and that can be cleaned up by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, fornication is like a spiritual marriage. I'm not saying it's a literal marriage. There's a similarity. It's like a spiritual marriage between. The same goes like with a hypnotist. If somebody allows themselves to be put under hypnosis. Okay, I remember in high school we had a... Do you remember in high school? Some of you don't know about... Okay, well, in high school we had like special... We had pep sessions. I hated those. But we had like a special speaker come in or something. I had a... what do they call that? No, that's cheerleading. What? Maybe it was that. I don't know if you remember this one. You're a bona fide graduate from Lowell, aren't you? Or are you? Yeah, so am I. We had hypnotists came in. Do you remember that guy? And so he would hypnotize, and he hypnotized this one girl that when he said a key word, she would stand up and yell. And then she'd go back in the bleachers in the gym. We was in the gymnasium. We had devil pride over on this side. And my basketball warm-ups had flames right here because we were fighting for the devils and we had hellfire on our basketball warm-ups. So, and then he hypnotized another girl that she was going to have to feel like she had to go potty at a certain time. And so then he went on, this is a hypnotism thing, and then that key word came up, and this girl just jumped up and looked around like, why did I do that? And everybody's, of course, getting a chuckle out of it. And then another key word, and this other girl's sitting in on the bleachers, and when that other key word, she just and ran out of the gym. Why? Because a hypnotist, depending if they are dark, how dark they are, meaning in spiritual kingdom, when somebody subjects themselves to that, spirits have a free realm. And the spirit is the one that triggers the reaction or the thought. And that's why we should never allow ourselves to be put under hypnotism. So fornication is very similar. Mind control is very similar. MK Ultra is very similar. It's a splitting of the soul. It's pretty dark. The Germans were doing this after World War II. And guess who bought or paid for or encouraged the continued study for that after World War II? Our country. I say our country, I'm saying the dark people at the top. You know, it's not American people that do this. It's some pretty dark souls at the top. You know, as Lynn Wood said about Mike Pence, he's a pretty dark soul. And he's going to have a fine place in hell. I think he's right. I think he's right on that. So in verse 3, abstain from fornication. Thank the Lord that the blood of Jesus Christ can break that bondage. Thank the Lord for that. And if the Lord allows somebody who had these tragic things happen to you, then you could at least bring them somebody that can help them overcome that. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We ought to live honorable lives. We ought to. Not in the lust of concupiscence, that's a big word, fleshly desires, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Okay, even as the Gentiles. Now, if we don't know what that big word means, one thing we can do is look it up. Okay, nothing hard about that in English. Or we can go elsewhere in the Bible and discover it. So he said, even as the Gentiles, so if we go to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, and we want to be on the same, wavelength, I guess you can say, the context, where he's dealing with the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 4. So in 1 Peter 4, I hope that's where I sent you, 1 Peter 4, verse 2, that he no longer should live in the rest of the time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Okay, so we're on the same subject. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. Okay, we're same subject. What's the will of the Gentiles? When we walked in lasciviousness. What's that mean? Lust. Okay, I know that one. Excess of wine. Oh, I got that one. Revelings. That's called partying. Banquetings. And abominable idolatry, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. Rioting. Oh, I know what that is. Riots. R-I-O-T-S. Riots. I got my riots. Riots. Okay, and then he says, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So that's the Gentiles, what they want to do. And then verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such as we have, as we also have forewarned you and testified. It's interesting in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the standard, or if you want to call it a list of holiness, is found in Leviticus 19. Okay, and in there, in that list, it is not limited to, shall we say, religious or spiritual things. It brings in our business adventures. When he mentions defraud here, the short word is fraud. So he is again bringing in our business adventures. Being honest, giving the right kind of work for the right kind of, you know, as far as the boss wants. Okay, fraud. Fraud is what happened in the election. It vitiates everything. Fraud is how many things operate under the corporate United States. This is how they've gotten rich, through fraud. Okay, and the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be honest. Now, you and I are limited because we got the currency in our pockets, knowing that it has no intrinsic value. But I'm always amazed you can go to the store and give them a piece of paper and I get all this other stuff and they are happy with it. It's amazing. It's a monopoly money. But they're happy, I'm happy. Okay, so it's an agreement. And when you got two agreements together, both say thank you, that's a good, honest trade. So fraud, in God's viewpoint, is a part of our spiritual life. So we need to be very honest and above board in our financial dealings with others. Be very honest when we sell a car. If the engine's knocking, we don't put 90 weight oil in it and tell the guy it's running fine. If we owe somebody some money, I know it's Federal Reserve notes. We need to be honest and try to square it up. The Lord expects that to us. He expects us to be a hard worker on the job. Try to please make the agreement. The agreement with the owner or the employer is, I'll do this and you do that. That's an agreement. And that's a part of holiness. How many Christians think that they show up on Sunday nice and clean and all that stuff, and on Monday they're a jerk on the job? God's watching Monday. God is watching Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. That's part of holiness. The Lord expects us to be holy. So in verse 6, he throws that. And for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but holiness. The holiness movement, they'll have their outward dress, but what are they like on the job? It used to be in America that a Baptist deacon can go into a bank and ask for a loan, and if he just said, I'm a deacon of such and such church, the banker would give him the loan by that reputation. Can't do that anymore. Sometimes you don't want to do business with Christians. Bad testimony. And so this is what the Lord expects from us. We're called unto holiness, and then he says, he that despises not man but God, who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. And so what the world is going to despise is that holy behavior that we do. So unfortunately, depending on the kind of employment a person has, you may want to give the right kind of work. Some lazy ones aren't going to appreciate you trying to give the right kind of work. But when it is time for promotion, the one up top is going to put the one that has benefited him. And so the one that works hard will move up the ladder. And they'll be honored by it because the boss sees. But then you got to put up with that despising of people. So that's all part of it. And this is what we can do to please the Lord. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. And I do pray and ask you'd help us to be holy people on Sunday, on Monday, and Tuesday, every day of the week. And I pray that, again, Lord, that you would have mercy in our country, that you would give President Trump and company the wisdom and to fulfill this calling according to your will. If it's not your will, I pray you'd help us just to rejoice in thee no matter what happens, and I pray that you'd have mercy on us. In Jesus' name, amen.